In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Kathy, and I am an alcoholic. I am honored to be invited by Father Todd and thank him for giving me the opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope with you as we work to remove the blinders and cast away the stigma associated with the disease of addiction. Perhaps some of you remember when I was here a few years ago and preached about addiction in the African American community. Today we will look at addiction and recovery for all. There are people in our pews and pulpits suffering from these illnesses that need the help of their church family to accept the mercy and healing of Jesus Christ through spirit-centered programs of recovery. We believe addiction is a family illness and that changed attitudes can aid in recovery. Now, we know that Governor Christie made addiction the centerpiece of his administration, but have you ever looked at any statistics? Over 20 million Americans over the age of 12 have an addiction. 100 people die every day from drug overdoses. Over 5 million emergency room visits were drug-related. 2.6 million people with addictions have a dependence on both alcohol and illicit drugs. Drug use in New Jersey rose 53.6% between 2010 and 2012 and continues to increase. Rates of illicit drug use are the highest among those aged 18 to 25. In New Jersey, in 2015, there were 1,587 drug overdose deaths statewide, and in 2016, that number rose to 2,250. The rate of heroin overdose in New Jersey is three times the national average. The drug overdose death rate nationally is up 21%. Over 90% of those with an addiction began drinking, smoking, or using illicit drugs before the age of 18. Heroin and opioid addiction has exploded in the past 10 years, killing more than 6,000 people in New Jersey. As a result, a real effort to fight this crisis and make it possible for more addicts to get into recovery facilities has been made. So now let us take a look at what St. Paul said to the Corinthians and how that relates to addiction and recovery. Paul clearly states that he has faith in Christ. When he talks about his faith, he talks about how God gave him the faith. It is not his own. Then he says that he keeps this treasure of faith, in a jar of clay. While God had given him a wonderful treasure of faith, Paul is still a jar of clay, fragile, easily broken, sinful, and dying. Paul does not want to cover up his brokenness and sinfulness. Paul does not want to fool anyone into thinking that he is something that he is not. Paul does not want to lie. Paul is broken, persecuted, put into prison, cast down, tempted, in many difficulties, tormented, and dying. He is down but not out. Paul does not want anyone to miss the fact that he has hope when there is no hope. He is down but not out because Christ was down but not out. Christ was nailed down to the cross, put down into a tomb, but do not count him out because Christ had victory over death. That same victory is Paul's victory. So the dying you see in Paul works life in us. That is how this passage ends with such a strange statement. How can death in Paul work life in us? Because to see that Paul can have hope in the face of all the terrible things he is going through is to give us hope as well. If Paul can have hope in Christ in the face of death, well, that means that we can have the same hope. To see that Paul is down but not out means that we can know that we may be down but not out. The death in Paul works life in us. That is the best part. That is what Paul does not want us to miss. I too want to show you my death. I do not want to hide my brokenness. I do not want to hide my sinfulness. I am a jar of clay. I come to you making many mistakes in life. I have hurt many people along the way. I do not always handle arguments well. I do not always make Christ first in my life. I come to you under the persecution and temptation of addiction. As an active alcoholic, I was very much in denial. I lied, I stole, and did many things that I am not proud of. I drank from the time my eyes opened until I passed out at night. As a result, I was going to work drunk. So when my boss confronted me and suggested that I might have a problem with alcohol, I said, "I do not think that I have a problem with alcohol, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I will go back to church." I had been away from church for 27 years. So I was even a bit shocked when those words came out of my mouth. But Christ was at work in me that day. I started going back to church that next Sunday while trying to control my drinking, but that did not work. It took 9 more months of going to church every Sunday before I could admit that alcohol was my problem. I started in a recovery program, but that compulsion to drink had not been removed from me. After months of fighting this compulsion, I finally prayed one night for it to be removed. I woke up the next morning with a feeling of relief, not even thinking about alcohol, and finally realized that the compulsion had been removed. I was 2 weeks in a recovery program when my husband called me to tell me that he could no longer live with me and moved in with a woman he met at the bar we had just bought. And yes, I did buy a bar. I called a lawyer and immediately started divorce proceedings. My whole world was coming apart, and at the end of the divorce, I also lost a house, a boat, and the bar. But I had to do that for my life to move to a new place. I also received the gift of faith. God has enlightened my heart with the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. In Christ, we see God's glory, that he could come and suffer and die for us in order that we might have salvation. God has given me faith. I have hope when there is no hope. I am down, but I am not out. I want you to see in me the dying of Christ so that you might see hope in his death, so that death can work life in you. I do not hide the fact that I am a jar of clay. And now I turn to you, jars of clay, one and all. You before me are a dying crowd. There is brokenness here, sinfulness, disease, decay, and addictions of many types. You are under the persecution of Satan for your faith. You are wearing the cross of Christ, and in that I see life. I was in early recovery, 3 years sober, when I was accepted into the Deacon Formation Program. Prior to that, in a meeting with my discernment committee, I was given the following poem called "The Vessel" by an unknown author. The master was searching for a vessel to use. Before him were many, which one would he choose? "Take me," cried the gold one, "I'm shiny and bright. I am of great value, and I do things right. My beauty and luster will outshine the rest. For someone like you, master, gold is the best." The master passed on with no word at all, and looked at the silver urn, narrow and tall. "I'll serve you, dear master, I'll pour out your wine. I'll be on your table whenever you dine. My lines are so graceful, my carving so true, and my silver will certainly compliment you." The master passed on to a vessel of brass. 'Twas wide mouth, 'twas shallow and polished like glass. "Hear, hear," cried the vessel, "I know I will do. Place me on your table for all men to view." But the master came next to a vessel of wood. Polished and carved, it so solidly stood. "You may use me, dear master," the wood mole said, "but I'd rather you use me for fruit, not for bread." Then the master looked down on a vessel of clay. Empty and broken, it helplessly lay. No hope has this vessel that the master might choose to cleanse and make whole, to fill and to use. "Oh, this is the vessel I've been hoping to find. I'll mend it and use it and make it all mine. I need not the vessel with pride in itself, nor the one that is narrow to sit on the shelf, nor the one that is big-mouthed and shallow and loud, nor the one that displays all its contents so proud." Then gently he lifted the vessel of clay. He mended and cleansed it and filled it that day. He spoke to it kindly. "There's work you must do. Just pour out for others what I put in you." We come to God admitting that we are jars of clay because he has given us a treasure of faith, a salvation which is surer than trying to hide our addictions and our sinfulness. Life was given back to this broken vessel, this addict, and can be given to you. I see hope in Christ that I can share with others. I see the hope that you have in Christ, a hope that you can share with others. When people come to us saying that they feel as if life has got them down and out, we can say that they may be down, but they are not out. We can show them our fragile, addicted, broken, dying bodies and say, "In Christ, I have life. In Christ, I have recovery." Amen. Amen.